Greetings, and welcome to Bear Soup. News, interviews, scoos, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Suresha. Ahead in this 85th episode of Bear Soup, which is brought to you by the Bookish Bears at Barebone Books. A sexy, funny story by Jay Neal from the anthology Bears in the Wild. First off, I want to wish everyone a very happy holiday and fun and safe new year. It's been a big year here at Bear Soup, what with our launching the new website at bearsouppodcast.net and many special features on the show, including interviews with Steve-O from A Bear's Life, Doug Langway and Louis Tice from the film Bear City, and Paul Moore from The Den in Fresno. We also heard stories and essays from Jeff Mann's book, Binding the God, David Kimbrell's excellent book, The Masculine Mystique, Dan Jaffe's novel, The Limits of Pleasure, my introduction to the pictorial book, Hair, Larry Bob's Homosexual Conspiracy, and several smoking hot stories from 100% Beef Mag and the anthology Bears in the Wild. What will next year bring? Stay tuned for more Bear Soup. The following story, entitled Bears Right Bear, written by Jay Neal, is from Bears in the Wild, Hot and Hairy Fiction, from Barebone Books. I was just finishing my unpacking. Unpacking doesn't take long when it's just two swimming suits and a pair of socks, when my attention was attracted by a knock on the screen door of my cabin. What's soft? What fur through yonder screen door breaks? It is a bear, and that bear is naked. Hey, Magnus, come on in. The screen door flew open, and Magnus blew in like a Viking invasion. He picked me up, giving me a generous welcome kiss and a big Viking bear hug. Big Viking bear hugs are so much better when the big Viking bear is naked. Fur on the back improves the grip.
It's great to see you again, Dennis. It's been way too long. Welcome to the Hose.
It's great to be here. The place is looking great.
And getting better all the time. We still have a lot of work to do, but we wanted to have this workshop before the weather turned too cold. I'm so glad you could join us.
How could I pass up something called Bears Write Bear? But whatever gave you the idea for a bear writers camp?
You write, we're all bears, and we're all a camp. What could be more natural?
It's a great idea.
We'll be a cozy but interesting bunch. 5 writers are attending, including you, but not to mention Thad, your workshop leader for the weekend.
I can't wait to get started. I've got my pen, plenty of ink, and plenty of paper.
And way too many clothes on. Why aren't you naked yet in poolside, soaking up the sun?
I was just unpacking.
What's to unpack? You knew this was a clothing very optional weekend.
Therefore, I brought only the minimum. Bathing suits.
For swimming, but...
For sunning. Tan lines are sexy.
And?
And socks.
Magnus raised a questioning eyebrow. To protect your modesty?
For sleeping, I explained. In case the evenings are cool, I can't sleep with cold feet.
Well, don't let cold feet keep you from the welcome picnic. Maybe you'll find a bed warmer. More fun than socks.
Speaking of bed warmers, how's Angus?
Speaking of picnic, he's up at the house preparing his secret family recipe for haggis. He insists on it for festive occasions.
What's the secret?
That it actually tastes good.
Our culinary conversation was cut short by the sound of a car driving up the gravel road in front of the cabin. Magnus glanced around in time to see the tail end of the car go by.
Oh, speak of the bear, I think that was Thad's car. You'll like Thad.
Western novels are his specialty.
He likes his cowboys butch and horny. You two should get along just fine, unless you've got a thing against spray cheese.
I'll just go in and get him settled, and we'll see more of you in a little bit by the pool.
Naked.
Before I could even react, the screen door banged shut with Magnus on the other side. I decided that a peek at the cowboy rider couldn't hurt. So I pushed open the screen door and stepped out onto my cabin's porch. The car had parked in front of the cabin next door. I was just in time to see Magnus giving his familiar big Viking bear greeting to the equally hefty cowboy bear as he got out of his tiny hybrid. Was it just the diminutive car that made him look big? No, definitely not. It looked like Thad was picking Magnus up and kissing him. Conversation between the naked and the still-clothed was animated. Despite the clothing, however, I was perfectly able to admire Thad's Pelopigian backside when he bent over the open tail door of his car to lift out two cardboard boxes labeled CAUTION, CONTENTS UNDER PRESSURE. These he carried into his cabin. As Thad went in, Magnus looked over at me and made a spraying motion with his finger. I couldn't remember whether I'd ever actually tasted spray cheese before. Was it really edible? The welcome picnic had broken up about an hour earlier, and I was sitting in the rocking chair on my cabin's porch, enjoying the sounds of the evening. The party was fun, but you wouldn't expect less from Magnus and Angus. For cocktails, Magnus served potent cosmopolitans, red, and some blue concoction of vodka and blue curacao. They certainly lubricated the proceedings. If I hadn't tasted it myself, I wouldn't have believed it, but Angus's Secret Family Haggis recipe really was good. It ran a close second in popularity behind the grilled hot dogs, which took on a vaguely suggestive quality in the clothing optional context. We all got to know Thad better. Ramon seemed mostly fixated on Thad's hands, while Philip wanted to talk about homoeroticism and cowboy poetry. Myron was far more obvious than he thought he was, staring at Thad's crew cut. The way Myron kept brushing his hand over the top of his own head only drew more attention to him. I was convinced that Kevin was trying to think of a pretext for sniffing Thad's ass, but he never managed it. Depending on your point of view, I had been fortunate or unfortunate enough to sit next to Thad while we ate. I had been so aware of his proximity, I thought I could have counted the hairs on his thighs where it pressed against mine. I had been certain I could feel the heat radiating from his body, although it could have been my incipient sunburn. Once he had dropped some potato salad in my lap, I had rather hoped and was mortified at the thought that he would offer to lick it off. Thad's habit of taking occasional hits from his can of spray cheese was inexplicably becoming erotically charged for me. The way he had sprayed it along his hot dog was so arousing that I'd feared I'd have to stay seated at the picnic table long after dinner had ended because of erection difficulties. But I hadn't, and the picnic had drawn to a decorous close. It was a lot darker in the wilds of Croom than it ever could have been at home at Baltimore. A lot quieter, too, although all the crickets and frogs made quite a racket. Still, I could hear the faint buzzing of the neon sign that proclaimed the White Hose Motor Inn. Magnus had explained at dinner that no one seemed to know whether the missing neon letter had been a U or R, so they had compromised and called it the White Hose, H-O-S-E. Someday, when they could afford a new sign, Magnus said they would be changing the name to Bear Woods. Now, here's another difference between Croom and Baltimore. I'd never been inclined to sit on the front stoop of my row house almost naked, or totally naked if I kicked off my flip-flops. The vital feature of this porch, of course, was that I could observe Thad's cabin from it. All comings and goings, of which there had been none to that point, were revealed to me. Unless he had come back right after dinner and went to bed early. But how likely was that? Surely an evening like that was quality time for lonesome cowboys to sit in the moonlight by the fire, strumming their mistuned guitars and working out another verse of their homoerotic cowboy poetry. Thoughts of poking cows made me restless, so I decided on a moonlit stroll before bedtime. Maybe I'd work on a cowboy ballad of my own. I took the gravel road up the hill toward the main house, behind which was the patio deck and the pool.
Coincidentally, that was the route that took me past Thad's cabin, so I could casually check that all of his lights really were off. Perhaps, if he were in bed, I'd hear his snoring. I briefly thought maybe I'd catch a glimpse of him sleeping in the buff through an open window, until I remembered that there really was no point, since I had spent a good part of the afternoon gazing upon his naked glory. Still, it was a nice thought. Even plain, ordinary gray gravel looked curiously opalescent in full moonlight. Isn't that odd? Maybe my mind was playing tricks. Maybe I had too many blue cocktails at dinner. As I approached the house, which was dark, I imagined I heard a distant wind rustling in the trees, but I could see that no wind was stirring. Perhaps it was more like the sound of air escaping a bicycle tire? In reality, as I turned the corner and came around to the patio deck, I could see that the sound was much more like the jets of a hot tub. In fact, like the jets in a hot tub, swirling water around the semi-recumbent figure of Thad. His head was leaning back. His eyes were closed. I felt strangely reassured to see a can of spray cheese close at hand. He cracked open an eyelid.
"Hey there, partner. Why don't you come on in and sit a spell?
Are we going to sing cowboy songs?
I expect we could rustle us up a few. Did you bring guitar?
Tarnation, I left it in my saddlebag.
Ah, well, left to our own devices, then. How's your a cappella singing?
I kicked off my flip-flops and began the inelegant task of getting into the hot tub. No worse than my accompanied singing.
That bad, is it?
It's difficult to sit in a hot tub with someone of Thad's commanding presence, not to mention imposing bulk, without some part of one's person touching some part of the other person's person. Since our thighs were already well acquainted, I settled on sitting next to him, our legs stretched out in parallel. For his part, Thad was willing to put his arm around my shoulder when I slumped down into the water. It created the potential for cozy cowboy conversation. My singing ability is probably the best argument in favor of my being a writer, I explained. We hadn't discussed writing at dinner, so Thad asked me about mine. I told him about Miss Mindy and her current troubles. Thad told me about some of his cowboys and their affairs of the heart and how big cattle drives and long hours in the saddles, wearing the same sweaty, smelly clothing, made the cowboys really, really horny. Our conversation wandered aimlessly, yet amicably, as we watched the nearly full moon drift across the sky. As our conversation became more personal, I found myself snuggling a little closer to Thad, until I was comfortably nestled against his chest, his arm draped casually over my left shoulder. When he turned his head occasionally in my direction, his beard tickled the top of my head. Many cowboy secrets were shared, but one question remained. "So what's up with the spray cheese thing?" I asked.
"It keeps me off the pork rinds."
"Pork rinds?"
"They give me the runs. Something awful."
"I guess that's a benefit, then."
"I figure it's also a subconscious acknowledgement of my obsessive lust for men with red hair."
"Really?"
"Of course, there's also the obvious aspect of oral gratification."
"But I have red hair."
"I am aware of that fact, although I'd describe it more as a light coppery with overtones of pomegranate."
He kissed the top of my head. It tickled. He also pinched my left nipple. That was much better than a mere tickle, sort of a full-body tickle. Thad was evidently talking. I heard the rumble in his chest, but I hadn't been paying much attention. Blame it on the nipple tweak that had transferred all thought processes to the little brain in my crotch. "I'm sorry, what were you saying? I was distracted by the inviting sight of the watery effervescence swirling just below your nipple."
"Oh, nothing important, obviously. But with an invitation like that, perhaps you should RSVP with some alacrity."
I did. My chin was already skimming the water, my tongue conveniently at nipple level.
By slipping my arm across the broad expanse of Thad's belly, I turned just enough to bring my lips into contact with the target nipple. I licked, bit gently, and sucked lightly, making sounds that syncopated nicely with the sucking sound of the water lapping in the hot tub filters. Thad moaned. You might think that writers would be more creatively articulate at such times, but you would be mistaken. Apparently, the little brain has a very limited vocabulary. My arm across Thad's belly had a hand that was unoccupied, so I reached up and gave a pinch and a little twist to his other nipple. Like a volume knob, it turned up his moaning. We still were not louder than the frogs, though. Both nipples were well hardened, and Thad's volume was adjusted perfectly. So I disengaged from nipple sucking and raised my head to enjoy some good, old-fashioned cowboy kissing. I have always enjoyed a little beard burn around the mouth. I quickly discovered that Thad had a long and muscular tongue, which he used to explore the inside of my cheeks. Meanwhile, I let my free arm slide back down his belly and under the water until my hand encountered his stiff dick. Erection difficulties indeed. The warm water had loosened his balls. They floated playfully around my hand, so I played with them for a minute or two, while Thad's little moans made my lips vibrate. Then I wrapped my fingers as far around his dick as they could reach and stroked slowly, ever so slowly. My lips vibrated even more. Thad stopped kissing me and pulled me closer to him. He whispered in my ear,
I think Magnus discourages sex in the hot tub. Tends to clog the filters.
Maybe if I do it slowly enough, it isn't sex.
I think that sooner or later, it's going to be sex, regardless of speed.
I continued my measured stroking of Thad's dick and my attempts at mouth-to-mouth beard abrasion. My ministrations were effective. Thad kept clenching me ever more tightly against his body until it was becoming difficult to breathe, but I wasn't about to complain. What a way to go! Thad was approaching his own petite mort, evidenced by uncontrollable shuddering as all his muscles tensed. Through barely moving lips, he managed to say,
It's about to be sex.
I was seized by inspiration of the moment. I broke my clench with Thad, took a deep breath, and plunged my head under the water. My beard-burned lips made a good seal that I could slide slowly down Thad's dick. The result was a mouthful of Thad rather than a mouthful of water. Sucking him into my mouth was just enough to send him over the edge. Happily, with my head under water, Thad's very loud orgasmic howling was muffled. He thrashed about, howling and slapping the water in a very gratifying way. He also came copiously in my mouth, cum that would not be clogging the hot tub filters, I might add. As soon as I could, I came up for air, gasping and swallowing. After a bit, Thad pulled me back against him, and I snuggled up to his chest again. He murmured something like,
Get along, little doggy.
Thad took a hit of spray cheese, then he squirted a warm, creamy shot in my mouth. It was very romantic. We sat quietly in the warm, bubbling water, turning into cowboy prunes together as the moon arced gracefully across the sky. I slept very well, thank you. I didn't have to get up early, either. Angus served the lovely late-morning brunch of scrambled eggs, Canadian bacon, a startlingly good grits casserole, and homemade muffins featuring various berries. The program for the day was brunch then, midday workshop session, afternoon snacks, lounging by the pool time, and an evening session after dinner. Our midday session was going to deal with plot problems and narrative disasters. Things all writers faced. We lounged around on the picnic tables, Thad at the center of our semicircle. We looked casual in our birthday suits, but we were all intensely interested in the topic. Ramon started things off. I'm often concerned about how to work in physical description without sounding contrived.
As in, Archie turned and saw the 6'2" tall stranger with a 54-inch hairy chest and 42-inch waist standing naked before him, proudly showing off his 11-inch dick?
Thad asked.
Often your readers will be satisfied with a lot less physical description than you imagine necessary.
True, I said. I like to keep the details sketchy myself. Plus, quite a bit of description can be accomplished indirectly. Thad took a hit of spray cheese. Exactly, Ramon added. For instance, I could simply remark on how fascinated I am by the way Thad's beautifully shaped hands flex and turn when he picks up the can of spray cheese. Also, Myron added, since we're already established that he's naked, I could observe to Ramon that, despite a generous, flaccid endowment, I suspect that the Thad's a grower. Naturally, I nodded complete agreement. Philip looked thoughtful.
That's all useful, but I think the real challenge is how to get the sex scene rolling without succumbing to tired old formulae.
In real life, Myron asked, how often have we actually heard someone say, I was so drunk last night?
Once, maybe, Kevin said. But I was too hungover to remember the details.
On the other hand, Myron said, who among us has not lusted after some straight guy only to end up an emotional wreck?
There were lots of nods.
Thad offered his advice.
Let the sex scenes grow naturally from the narrative context and the character's emotions and established behavior. You probably will have some telling details lying around in your story, not pulling their own weight. Grab one of those and turn it into a plot device.
Thad took another hit of spray cheese. Kevin got visibly excited. You mean something like the spray cheese, for instance?
Philip looked puzzled.
I'm afraid I don't see how that would work.
Oh, ye of little imagination, Kevin intoned. Look, if you've got a bunch of naked guys sitting around and an open can of spray cheese nearby, you just know that sooner or later it's going to get sprayed up someone's ass.
Philip seemed startled by the idea.
Really? That doesn't sound terribly plausible to me.
Oh, Myron said. I think it sounds eminently plausible. It sounds like a lot of fun, too.
Myron jumped up from his table and pointed inquiringly at the can of spray cheese, which Thad handed to him. Myron turned toward Kevin and spread his arms in invitation. Kevin hardly needed to be asked twice. He hopped up onto his table, rolled onto his back, lifted his legs, and used both hands to spread his cheeks. Myron stuck the nipple of the spray cheese can into Kevin's receptive asshole and sprayed, ultimately pulling it out and making a little rosette to cap Kevin's hole. He set the can on the table, sat himself down for a feast, and began licking off the cheese he had so adroitly deployed.
Oh, fuck, man.
Clearly, Kevin was enjoying this plot device.
Fuck, that feels so good. Do you think spray cheese would make good lube?
It's undoubtedly slippery enough, Myron said, but almost certainly not condom-friendly.
Oh, fuck. Use your fingers, then.
How many?
All of them.
Philip observed this demonstration by Kevin and Myron with great interest.
I think I'm beginning to see, he said.
Ramon was certainly catching on, since he, like the rest of us by that time, was experiencing serious erection difficulties. Armed with newfound comprehension, Philip fetched the can of spray cheese and spritzed out a sinuous cheese snake along the entire length of Ramon's hard dick.
Hot dog!
Philip exclaimed with evident delight at his own witticism.
Don't you think, Ramon asked, that the hot dog imagery is rather cliched?
Cliched, perhaps, but of great utility and singularly appropriate at this moment. Philip squatted in front of Ramon.
I'll eat it here, thank you, and save the buns till later.
He bent forward and sucked Ramon's entire dick into his mouth,
undertaking a vigorous, if cheesy, blowjob. I looked at Thad. Thad looked at me. He shrugged his shoulders. Well, I said, the class seems to be a success so far.
The students are certainly engaged in the topic, and unusually motivated by the classroom exercises.
Thad continued his thought.
Do you suppose we should take a few minutes and review our lesson on cowboy songs from last night? I do believe I owe you a verse or two.
It sounds like a plan to me. Thad got up and retrieved the can of spray cheese. He stood in front of me, pondering for a moment before piping, with exaggerated care, tiny cheese flowers on each of my nipples. Pasties? I asked.
Cheesies,
he responded solemnly. Then he started licking them off. I brushed my hand over Thad's bristly flat top, enjoying all the sensations I was experiencing. Yeehaw, I whispered to myself. Ride 'em cowboy.
This has been Bear's Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 85. In the next Bear's Soup, we have an exclusive interview with Steve O'Harris, publisher of the Bear's Life magazine, with a special announcement for the bear community. Thanks, as always, to the Merman, Joe of BearRadio.net, and to my husband, Rocco. And thanks to you for listening to Bear's Soup. Email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Bubbles for the Bear's Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bare Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by Bear authors at barebonesbooks.com. Look for Bear Soup, Bear Radio, and Bare Bones Books also on Facebook. Check us out on our home blog, www.bearsouppodcast.net. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.